T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
I'm lucky to have somebody who said I do to me. I understand that. It's just some things just don't need to be said.
I agree. Trust me.
She told me recently to feign interest.
Oh, no.
And I said, really?
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that.
A lot of people relating to the significant other work stories. If I come home and I talk about something from work, at some point I do realize, like, yeah, I'm just telling you about things that you don't interact with any of those people and you don't know.
Yo, work was good.
Let me tell you what she did, babe. She come to me talking about, can you go print this out the fax machine? No, I am an executive administrative assistant, not your assistant. We got to act like we know what's going on.
What? She told you to print it out the fax machine.
How was your commute? That should never exceed 15 seconds. Sometimes I get a turn-by-turn description of issues with the traffic.
Guess what happened to my mom today? You remember I told you my mom how she, when she was in college, not when she went to Michigan, when she transferred. Remember because that guy got weird and she had to leave because he was not the Iranian guy. That was a different story. That guy, I think he was Persian. I heard that Persian actually split. What are you talking about? Jesus Christ!
You gotta understand, man. They just want you to care about the things that are inconveniencing them or happening in their life. It's that simple.
I do care.
Oh, ever tell you about the time? Yeah, you told me about the time. Stop telling me the same over and over again. Why don't you go out and get kidnapped? Have some new happen to you.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show, afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I forgot that rock bit. That's fantastic.
Oh, it is. Yeah. it's tricky, you know, relationships. They are a unit of push and pull.
Yeah. That is what? Love is compromise, right?
Give and take.
Yeah. Well, back and forth. One for me, one for you. Try not to be too greedy, too selfish. Recognize that you've got flaws and all that sort of thing. But sometimes it's easier to point a finger than a thumb.
I you know, for the ladies who are listening to us, I want to make it abundantly clear that it is my contention, always has been, there are guys who are guilty of the same things that we're swiping, painting you all women as with a broad brush yesterday. We recognize in some marriages the shoe is on the other foot.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about your situation, not necessarily the broad brush of all gender, but
a ton of guys texted us yesterday and experienced similar things, and I'm sure there are women who experience similar things and get bored to death with stories that their husbands are running by them on a regular basis.
I mentioned my wife has about had it with the Manny Machado news from me, so it was a two-way street.
Yeah, very much so. We all bring a lot of baggage to the relationships. And as Mac, was it the Cubs game or the Christmas party when you talked to Steph about radio wives?
Christmas party.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're not the easiest bunch in the world to deal with.
Yeah,
it's calling it lightly.
You have to have a thick skin, and I think she gets it. My early indications are she gets what she's, you know, got ahead of her. She understands the burden.
We'll be married 2 years in March. 2 whole years.
Gonna make it?
Yeah, I'm liking our chances at 2 years.
Okay, good.
Arrow's pointing up. This hour on the Score brought to you by Family Hyundai. Brent Musburger at 3, Terry Bors at 3:30, Dave Wannstedt at 4 o'clock. We will give out some prop bets along the way today and tomorrow as we intend to empty the show account as we go and go all in on this Super Bowl. And I wanted to ask you just a straightforward football question about the Super Bowl, because it'll probably inform some of our gambling. Do we know whether or not Jared Goff is good?
We had reason to doubt how good he was in November. He had an off month in November. However, I think, and we saw firsthand what he looks like when he struggles, when they failed to score a touchdown against the Bears in that Sunday night game at Soldier Field.
Right. 56. We saw up close and personal the worst game of his season.
That was not a good game for his head coach either. So I'm not putting it all on him. They didn't make any effort to get Gurley involved in that game. None whatsoever. Just saying by running the ball, just by throwing it to him. He didn't touch the football enough against the Bears, so that's not exclusively on Goff. But I think Goff answered some questions in the championship game, the way he played in the second half. In fact, I think there are several of the young guns who have done similarly during this postseason. Mitch Trubisky had a terrific fourth quarter in the wild card round.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes put 31 points on the board in the second half of the Chiefs' loss in the title game.
Jared Goff.
Goff.
Yeah, it was great, especially in the fourth quarter. Made some big-time throws against the Saints. And the numbers are all there, and the pedigree is there. So I understand on the front end it's kind of an odd question to ask, right?
No, it's a reasonable question to ask, I think.
He's the former number one overall pick in his third year. He's been to the playoffs twice, won 11 games last year, won 13 games this year, has won two playoff games already this year. His first year is an asterisk year because he played partial season, and it was Jeff Fisher, just like Mitch Trubisky, with Dow Loggins in a half season. He threw 32 touchdowns this year, sixth most in the NFL, threw for nearly 4,700 yards, top five in the NFL. But I do watch them and wonder how much of it is the system wonder like how many quarterbacks would put up monster numbers if they got a few years in Sean McVay's system and had Todd Gurley in the backfield.
Yeah, and that's a reasonable thing to wonder about. And you throw in who's game planning against him this week, and that complicates matters. And something I didn't give enough credit to going into championship week was the disparity in experience, and it's prevalent here too. Super Bowl experience, Patriots versus Rams. It's pretty one-sided, and while the Rams answered the bell against the Saints, man, you look at what the Patriots did. They had to go overtime too, but the amount of experience they had, 36 conference championship game appearances to none, and I think that gives the Patriots an edge over Jared Goff. That's why I like New England. I think New England is going to win the game, and I know you guys won't be on board of this, and I guess, what'd you say, 5 o'clock we're going to do our prop bets?
We can do whatever you want.
I'll do a margin of victory play on the Patriots, and I'll do it on the side if we don't want to make it part of the show, Pop. But I haven't done a margin of victory move in a while. I like the odds on margin of victory plays. If you think it's going to be more lopsided than the number 2.5 leads you to believe, make a slot play at 11 to 15 points or something like that. I've only moved on it a few times, including a Super Bowl that celebrates its birthday today when the Broncos beat the Falcons in Miami. That was a nice payoff. I think it was something like 8-1.
To nail the exact margin of victory.
Yeah, to have the margin of victory in that 4 or 5 point slot area. That's fun.
Oh, it's a really fun bet. It can be dead on arrival. It can be done early. I like maxing those out. If you think that there will be a blowout, it usually maxes out at 17 or 21 points. And so if you think the Patriots could blow them out, doing the 21 plus.
Yeah.
And then you get every number above.
Yeah.
Three
Does it max out at 21? I haven't looked today. I'll look during breaks, but.
It usually maxes out somewhere around there. Goff's a really interesting case to me because, like we were talking about with Belichick and Brady, and how much of Belichick's system helps everybody there, there's a shot that McVay is the next guy like that. This boy wonder coach who runs the same personnel package on 98% of his plays, and it's plug and play, and Gurley goes out and CJ Anderson produces, and Cooper Kupp goes out and they stumble for a little bit, but then it's Reynolds or Tyler Higbee or whomever, and it's just
Tyler Higbee.
The system just works. And we've seen them in high profile games. Obviously, the two NFC games, the game Cowboys and Saints, we saw them against the Bears. We saw them in the 54-51 game
yep.
against the Chiefs. it's weird to question a guy who's put up numbers like that.
Yeah,
it just doesn't feel right.
We forget that even the best crap the bed once in a while, and we expect it week after week, especially when a young quarterback is getting all of the headlines as Mahomes and Goff have this year. It's like we don't give them the benefit of the doubt when even Brady has crappy games. Not as often, maybe, but Goff put a few together consecutively, and I think after Kupp was gone for an extended, they survived that initially pretty well, but sooner or later, his absence was noticeable with the Rams, and I'm sure that had something to do with their production, Goff's production, dipping.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also fun to think about just if Goff is part of the future of the NFL at quarterback. You talk about the young quarterback crop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Mahomes is going to win an MVP this year. Do we think Goff's going to win an MVP one day? Like, is he that level of talent? Because he's got a shot to finish top five this year.
It would be difficult for me to bet on him just based on how superior Mahomes is to him, and that's going to be the guy he's going up against for all these next, 10, 12 years.
Yeah, but I mean, Peyton had to go up against Brady.
Right. Mahomes isn't going to win them all. I'm not saying he is. But it's just he hasn't arrived at that same level of trust. He hasn't earned that trust, I don't think, to the same degree.
Yeah, and I think I personally think a huge part of that is McVay. Because if I give you Baker Mayfield feels like a talent that's like, wow, that guy's as a talent is going to be here for a long time, and it feels like if he was able to do it with Hugh Jackson and the disaster going there, and they fire the coach and they immediately start winning games, like they're going to be winning games because of Baker Mayfield for a long time. He's not along for the ride. He is the ride.
Yeah, I think that's a guy. I put more trust in him to be great than I do Jared Goff.
So do I. But that doesn't feel right based on the numbers and the wins the last 2 years.
It's the way he carries himself. Mayfield acted like he belonged from the get-go, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's my take of him. Goff sometimes looks a little bit deer in headlights. If you read body language, and sometimes it's impossible not to.
Yeah, well, and sometimes it shows up in the field, he settles into games. Whereas Baker Mayfield, it feels like he walks onto the field, and even if he throws a pick, he's like, "Ooh, he threw that pick with swagger."
Yeah,
Whereas Jared Goff, I don't know. And so it's
see how tight that spiral was. I hit that DB right between the two and the six.
Exactly,
man.
His incompletions have spirals. I remember.
I didn't break a finger. Man, that got there in a hurry, didn't it?
I'm telling you, we're about to watch a Super Bowl with a quarterback who put up top five numbers 3 years into the league, where we all watched him a bunch in prime time, and I don't have a strong feeling one way or another if he's good. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't either. He's better than most, I would say, but not top five. Not top half dozen.
Yeah. Would you rather have Goff or Mitch Trubisky?
Wow. I'm hedging, and one of them's playing in the Super Bowl this week, and one of them played in the Pro Bowl and shouldn't have.
Right, and one of them just put up 4,700 yards and 32 touchdowns is a great season 3 years into the NFL.
I don't know.
I think
the reason I'm hedging more than any, and I think it's going to be short term. You're not going to have this for Trubisky's entire career. Is what he does with his legs. How he can beat you with his legs. That's not going to be a part of his game forever. It never is with NFL quarterbacks. Look at any of the guys who quarterbacked in the league for a dozen or more years who started as runners. Whether Michael Vick probably continued more than most.
Sure.
But, your Dante Culpeppers of the world and Jeff Garcia, who was with us yesterday, didn't run as much later in his career. Cam Newton has reduced how many times he tucks it and goes.
Yeah, it goes from running to mobile, right? Like Aaron Rodgers is still a mobile quarterback, but he's not running with the football. Russell Wilson's a mobile quarterback, but he's not running with the football.
And what does that do to Deshaun Watson's game in a few years? Because that's a huge part of his package.
Yes, it is.
Beating you with his legs. God, I hate that. That's how most of us run.
Feet, legs.
He's going to beat you with his legs.
It's got to make you feel good about the Bears, though, right? If you're hedging,
yeah, it does.
If you're hedging on Trubisky, Goff,
well,
I think you got to go Goff.
How do you answer the question?
I think
Goff has more pelts on the wall for sure.
He's also 2 years into the system. He's an extra year into the league. The numbers are there. There's something about his skill set, though, that feels, I don't want to say gimmicky. It feels like he's being a puppet master. Like those stories you read about McVay, where they get to the line as quickly as possible so they haven't turned off my communication in the headset so I can help you with the pre-snap reads. Like McVay, I have such a high regard for McVay that I wonder if he is just pulling the strings on Goff and that he would be able to do it with a ton of quarterbacks and that Goff is just above that baseline level of talent. And by the way, maybe we have that in Chicago. That's what we tried, right? We tried to find the Sean McVay in Matt Nagy, the young, aggressive, offensive coach, the whiz kid. So maybe we're watching the same thing here, and that Trubisky will be propped up by McVay's or by Nagy's system.
Do you remember what Greg Cosell said? He got under the skins of Bears fans when he said this too, how he described fundamentally what he sees when he watches Mitch Trubisky. I think it was 8 or 10 weeks into the season.
Yeah, not a natural thrower, Compton to Rivers.
Not a natural passer of the football. And by the way, like, you know, running, use your legs, that's with your arm being a passer of the football. And I thought about that the rest of the season when I watched him, and I understand why he comes away from watching Trubisky with that. When I watched Jared Goff, he looks, and this is eye test, but he looks a little clunky to me. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It looks like he's being programmed.
Kind of, yeah.
Like it's not natural. It's methodical, maybe. It's a weird thing, though, because if the programming is so high level that it can give you 4,700 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 13 wins, that's a hell of a career.
You know, if Speaks were here, he'd be able to articulate this because he's a musician, described by music. He knows the words, but he doesn't feel the music. That's how I feel about Jared Goff, and I'm butchering that that musical cliche. But
it's okay.
Yeah, it's in the ballpark. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here.
You're communicating it
he
well.
He knows the notes, but he's not playing the music naturally.
Like in White Men Can't Jump, you can't hear Jimmy. You're listening, but you can't hear Jimmy.
That's on last night.
It's on a lot. It gets a lot of spin. It's a good rewatchable movie, especially if you pick it up when they're in the tournament and the trash talk sequence with Woody Harrelson. It's a great 20 minutes of film.
I don't think I've seen it since shortly after it came out.
Oh, you could put a cat in the oven, but that don't make it a biscuit. Doesn't make any sense, but I love it. I love that.
Ooh,
it's great.
Ooh, why would you want to do that?
There's no reason to, but that movie is very, very entertaining to
me.
I quoted it yesterday, 7 foods with the letter Q. That's when Rosie Perez is on Jeopardy.
Right. And then we started naming Q foods as Swirsky.
As we are wont to do.
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We go with Sizzler.
This segment brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Moms can take the worry out of cold and flu season with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the most accurate thermometer available and the number one choice of pediatricians. With just a gentle scan across the forehead, you get an accurate reading every time. Protect your little ones with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Very special birthday celebration coming up in 20 minutes. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
I'm going to my car. Get my other gun. Shoot everybody's ass.
Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by the Wolves. Feeling cold? The forecast for Saturday's Chicago Wolves game is 72 degrees. Catch the Wolves as they battle division rival Manitoba and celebrate the 25th anniversary with free parking courtesy of Kia and discounted concessions. Go to chicagowolves.com.
Yeah, even warmer than 72 at the arena if you're close to the glass, because they have the pyrotechnic show when the Wolves take the ice, and you can feel the flames. You could see the flames for miles. We'll have a book barbecue. We'll dance around it like wild Indians.
That was in the reads the other day about the new pyrotechnic show and
was
the fireworks.
Yeah. Didn't hear that one.
Top and bottom of the hour.
I break into Warden Ordinary. out of nowhere.
It's okay.
Stream of consciousness.
We got the text line coming in hot.
Yes, it's buzzing.
Yeah, well, we got people all over the place. We got a lot of white men can't jump quotes, which I'm appreciating very much. I got people sending me DMs about craps, trying to get me to the horse sham.
Yeah, you got wagering friends out there. People want to touch you. They want to take your money, too.
Probably. They want to be the house. And then... hey, did you guys not watch the Pro Bowl? Trubisky is bad. Pace made a mistake.
I did see his bad interception in the Pro Bowl, and I couldn't agree with you more. Boy, did they overspend for him. No.
Yeah.
That was a bad pass. It's a Pro Bowl. They shouldn't even be playing the damn game. I was more concerned seeing him get racked up when I saw it live speed. I thought he took a really bad hit from Jamal Adams, the Jets safety. But when they see the replay and it slowed down, it was a very gentle touch. But, yeah, that Pro Bowl needs to stop. People should never evaluate something on the Pro Bowl. I hope that guy's just kidding.
I assume you. I just love the idea of it. I just watched
the Pro Bowl?
A full season of Mitch Trubisky, including an NFL playoff game.
Yeah.
I'm going to write him off of an exhibition game with no game plan when he played for less than a half.
I don't know what they're waiting for to deep six that stupid event. I know that it makes money, but come on, man. That's something for the next CBA, too. Enough. We're done. Nobody wants to go. It's going to require someone getting hurt.
Probably.
Something really bad has to happen for them to discontinue that nonsense.
I don't even think that they would if something really bad happened. I really don't. It makes money. What, the NFL doesn't care about anything else.
Yeah, until players decide they're not going to chance it.
Sure. If
but players don't think that way, though. No,
that's been going on for years.
Well, they just feel
get
the
guys that okay.
Sides.
I go there the first time; it's awesome. The second time, okay, cool. Third time, I'm staying at home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Enjoying my off season.
There's
and not doing
more
football.
Of that. And again, I don't know. There are no plans as of this date. There isn't a Pro Bowl site for next year. Their contract with Orlando just expired, and I don't know where it's what their plan is for next year.
I think, obviously, Hawaii...
They're planning to not play it.
Sure. Hawaii is obviously the thing that makes it feel the most special, if anyone cares about such things. But I'm telling you, I went... The one time I went, it was in the Super Bowl host city, and it was sold out, and the crowd was really into it. Because it was a cheap event for the locals to go to that they're not going to afford to go to the Super Bowl.
Right, you're not going to drop a grand to sit in another area code for the upper tank, so you go to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And then immediately question your judgment after the first two series.
Why did we come? Right, I'm with you, but it was sold out.
Right, because if you buy a Pro Bowl ticket, you're probably thinking you're going to see the finest play of NFL players, right?
Right, and then you get Mitch Trubisky and Dak Prescott and... second and third tier guys, but you know, you still saw Saquon Barkley out there. You see some good players.
He played defense too, didn't he?
Yeah, he played two ways, him and Zeke. And
you know, and as I think about the idea of a fourth opportunity to broadcast from Waikiki Beach, let me count the ways. I love the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to take the show out there next year.
I would, too. We got to actually make some money. Are we up or down as a show? Because
we're a little bit up.
Are we still?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, because I've never had a year like we had in 2018 long odds future bets. We hit the Derby, the NCAA tournament, the Rams to win the NFC.
For those of you who weren't with us during the tournament, we had, before the whole thing began, we put money on two teams. They wound up meeting for the national championship.
Right, Michigan and Nova. And then we hit the Derby winner. We hit the NFC champion. I don't think we're going to win our Giannis MVP bet, but we won another one. We won another future, didn't we? Am I forgetting one? Warriors sweep.
Yeah, we had the Warriors in straight sets.
Yes, we did. We had the Warriors sweep, and so I don't think I've ever had a year being that good on futures, and we still just. We should be up more, is what I'm saying.
What do we have in there? About $2,300.
Yeah. Like 2,200 after I put down our two bets earlier.
Okay, so you put those two in. So we were up $2,400. We had, what, $1,200 to start, and I put I reloaded with $750 once. So let's say just for even up $2,000.
Yep.
And $2,400. So we were up $400 in addition to the other futures that are still pending.
The only future we have pending is the $200 Giannis MVP bet.
Well, that's one of two. If the Bulls win 19 of the remaining games, that one goes over.
Okay. We do have our Bulls season-long bet.
It was a loss before the ball was in the
air. As we were
put
again, I said we should go under.
I'm such a Bulls homer. I mean,
Dan McNeil, I think of Bulls homer. Yes.
I can't stop that gene. I got a little bull in me. I always have the bull on my chest.
Dan Randy Brown's in you?
Danny Buckets, Lil Benny. Uh-huh. All right, it's Shep's birthday and a historic day in pop culture birthdays and sports birthdays. It really should be a holiday. There's so many good birthdays today. So we got a special celebration planned coming up on The Score.
For all the fellas out there with ladies to impress, it's easy to do. Just follow these steps. 1.
Cut a hole in a box.
2.
Put your junk in that box.
3.
Make her open the box, and that's the way you do it. It's my dick in a box.
Happy birthday to me, and to you.
Justin Timberlake, celebrating birthday number 38 today. Happy birthday to JT, one of the world's greatest entertainers. Yes, I am on board with Justin Timberlake.
Who isn't?
How can you not be?
He is incredibly talented. He can act a little bit. He can sing and dance a lot.
Oh, man. His contributions, I would say he is among the all-time greats in terms of regular appearances on Saturday Night Live. Not necessarily just when he's hosting, but just because he wants to be a part of it.
And well, him and Fallon are so tight. Yeah. They're very good friends. So he does the history of dance and the history of rap and those things on The Tonight Show. And he was big on SNL when Fallon was the head writer over there. So, yeah, he is a very impressive improv entertainer.
When he and Fallon do the Barry Gibb talk show,
yep.
that's among my favorite SNL skits of all time.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake, have some unique audio. A lot of people may not be aware of this story. In Toronto in 03, they did a benefit for SARS. Toronto was rocked. The city was in a panic over the SARS situation. And a bunch of Canadian bands jumped on board. Rush were there. The Guess Who, the Rolling Stones played, AC/DC played, and Justin Timberlake played.
So was it benefiting SARS or was it a fight against SARS?
It was.
You said it was for SARS. Aren't we anti-SARS?
Benefit, yes, I would believe that would be the correct way of phrasing it. You are 100% on the money there, Shep. Thank you for keeping my tongue in line. I appreciate that. And Timberlake did a song with the Stones. They did Miss You together. And you talk about two of the greatest dancers, singers. You got Jagger and Timberlake dancing in unison with each other.
That's
to
cool.
Miss You. Yeah, and not all of the 500,000 in attendance were happy with Justin Timberlake sharing the stage with, you know, and Keith Richards came to the aid of the young Memphis, Tennessee native. This is some pretty cool audio.
If I came to see AC/DC, I probably wouldn't want to see me either, so.
But he did get a lot of balls. It wasn't really nice.
You know, at least by the end of the set, to see people dancing and stuff kind of behind the crowd that was bunched up, it was cool. It was really cool.
We did get balls right out of that. And surely not by the Rolling Stones fans. They must be by the Rush fans or AC/DC.
When it started to happen, when he was up there with us, you know, with Mick, and they suddenly see bottles whizzing by, you know, I was just trying to take some action. I stood up there, you guys get the ones that are doing that, you know. And not another bottle flew by. The main point is that I don't want to get hit. And I don't want Charlie Watts getting it or Mick getting it. If they've got a good aim, they can hit Justin. He's not in my band.
Keith Richards coming to the assistance of Justin Timberlake and That's pretty fellow cool. bandmates. Yeah.
He has the respect of a lot of musicians. I know some of the criticism of him is cultural appropriation and that he's stolen a lot from hip-hop and not given as much back. to the culture. I loved Suit and Tie. I know it's a pop song and a little cliched with him and Jay-Z, but he is very entertaining, and I thought he was really good in The Social Network. I thought that that was a totally bizarre casting to put him as Sean Parker, and that he was too big of a star to play in a movie like that. But
he crushed the role.
Crushed it.
Yeah.
Crushed it.
Not necessarily a likable character, but he was running around with a guy, Jesse Eisenberg's character, Mark Zuckerberg, not real likable per se.
It wasn't really a movie about likable characters.
No, it wasn't. And but Facebook. He was great in it.
Yeah, really good. And when we did the Who's the Most Talented Person, like, I give that to Jamie Foxx because I think Jamie Foxx is just, he's better at almost all of the things that Justin Timberlake is good at. But it's just really hard to be good at that many different things. Like Timberlake is on a very, very, very short list who can do all of those things. Before we get to some other birthdays today, there is breaking news in the NBA that we should just pass along. This escalated very quickly. Kristaps Porzingis earlier today apparently had told the Knicks that he wanted out, and all of a sudden he's out. Which doesn't normally happen that quickly, but Shams Charania and Adrian Wojnarowski
can't just kick Joe out.
Yeah, reporting that Kristaps is going to Dallas and Dennis Smith Jr. is going back to the Knicks, and we don't know if any other pieces are going there. Little surprised Dennis Smith Jr. able to bring back that much of a haul, although he's only 1 year into the league, so he's still really cheap on his rookie deal, and Kristaps is about to get paid. Dennis Smith just had a triple double at MSG in his last game. But Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis together, that is a really nice nucleus, and that is bringing European basketball to the NBA. That is going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And also, are the Knicks, all right, because this is just their way of admitting, like, we are full-on tampering with Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and company. Like, is that an admission to that? Why else are you freeing up cap space? You don't do that. You don't give up Porzingis if you don't think you're landing one of those two and feel really good about it, do you?
Well, they already have a ton of cap space, so this is just more cap space. This is two max contracts at a minimum this offseason talk.
Right.
But do they strike out and do they know Durant's coming? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Because if they don't, like, they are, not that they've been a model franchise for decades and decades now, but it's like right in direction with the Bulls.
Yeah, well, yes. Dennis Smith is not enough on the face for Porzingis, obviously. Not even close. But yeah, I don't know if they think that they're going to get Kyrie and Durant or get Anthony Davis there somehow. I think Anthony Davis is going to be a Laker. But yeah, the Knicks have to have another move or else this will just be laughable. So I'm assuming we're gonna get more details on it too. All we know right now is Dennis Smith and Kristaps. But anyway, that's the news in the NBA. We can get more into it a little bit later on as we have more details. But it's also just a historic sports birthday day, and I know that Tanny put together something that people are going to enjoy.
January 31st. An iconic day for sports birthdays. Some of the greatest and most important athletes of our time, all sharing a common bond. Jackie Robinson.
In this World Series, the 36-year-old Jackie Robinson flashes the daring speed that recalls the Robbie of old. Sparked by Robinson, the Dodgers win the 1955 World Series.
Ernie Banks.
That's a fly ball deep to left. Back! That's it! Hey! He did it! Ernie Banks got number 500!
Nolan Ryan.
That's it! Number 7 is in the books! The remarkable Ryan has done it again!
Nick Shepkowski.
We'll keep you posted what happens there. 9-12. Excuse me. What the heck
You're
was
right
that?
You're right there, Shep?
I don't know. Tearing up. I don't know what that was. Laramie Tunzel and Laquan Treadwell of Ole Miss both declare for the draft. When I when I started leading up to that draft, Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr.
What a piece of garbage. Nick Shepkowski is human trash.
Russell Wilson looked like an all-pro.
New York as a city was a lot of fun. Went to the 9/11 museum. So that part was fun. then Yankee Stadium.
That's a drop.
That was fun.
That's a drop.
And then
can't tell you how much fun we had reliving 9/11.
What a gift shop.
What a blast. Yeah, bought a t-shirt.
Happy birthday, Nick Shepkowski, from most of us here at 670 The Score.
Happy 33rd birthday, Shep.
Boo! Thank you, lads. That was, I forgot about the unfortunate way I described the 9/11 memorial.
Yeah. You said it was a blast.
That was awesome. God.
He is the worst.
Wow.
Simultaneously the best and the worst. That's our guy.
Yeah.
The Shepper.
Shep, hope you have a great and happy birthday, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean, lads.
33rd birthday. Who's your favorite 33 of all time? You gonna celebrate your Charles Tillman birthday?
When my dad called this morning, we were actually going over 33s because that shows you how big of a dork that I am. I'm like, I'm Larry Bird years old. And he's like, oh, he was trying to think of 33s from his youth. And there's not a whole lot of great ones. Charles Tillman would probably be my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kareem 33.
He was.
Larry Pippen. Walker, Scottie Pippen. There are not a lot of 33s out there.
No. Did Jeremy Langford wear 33 for the Bears?
Daquan Mizell,
maybe. Just turned me 34 already.
Yeah, 33, not steeped.
Doesn't run
locally.
Too deep, no.
I would say Tillman and Pippen are locally.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah. Former Hawks captain Dirk Graham, but now we're reaching.
Former Blackhawks head coach Dirk Graham.
Yes, he was also their head coach. But they didn't give him a number on the back of his sport coat.
Thanks, Dan.
You know where he's from? He's from Regina, Saskatchewan. Have you ever been in Regina?
No, I've not.
No.
Maybe for his birthday.
Yeah, maybe for birthday.
It's awesome.
You'll love it.
You'll love it in Regina. See, it's really cold outside, but you get inside Regina,
nice
and it's very warm and
inviting.
They don't let you in right away. Sometimes you got to.
It's a different vibe there than the 9/11 museum.
Not a blast, huh?
Yeah. I couldn't go in the 9/11 museum after spending time at Ground Zero. I couldn't go in. I was about an hour there. I was stocked up.
Yeah. I went in. I don't know if other people our age feel this way, but it's the thing of our lifetime. You know how like my dad would talk about, you know, the Kennedy assassination or Vietnam or things like that. It's the defining. I mean, it happened when I was a freshman in high school. You know,
lifetime too. Too young to remember much of Vietnam. I remember watching our president tearfully resign on national television. But I would say in my lifetime too, that is the signature moment, the most sobering moment.
Yeah, my dad, he says it. You know, because he almost was drafted. Like he was up for it and got out with a health condition, and then
It is draft day.
Exactly.
Oh, my arm.
And then Kennedy. But yeah, it's the defining thing, man. So yeah, I went to the museum. It's good.
Tanny's a damn fool, by the way.
He's
Can
the
we
best.
Just admit that?
He's the best. You can't say draft on this show any context without playing it. It's good.
He had to work really hard to find all those mistakes. He had to go through hours.
Definitely. That's why I had to leave the pre-show meeting early.
Yeah,
every extra second to find Shep's flubs.
Should hear all the ones that didn't air. God.
That is so awesome.
Love you saying you farted. It's classic.
The deal is apparently going to be Kristaps Porzingis, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., leaving the Knicks, Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews, and a pick going back to the Knicks. The Knicks would also have to make about $1.5 million of player salaries, work that from Kevin O'Connor. And the belief is that the Knicks are trying to free up two max contract slots in order to make a big swing in free agency this year. So, yeah, there it is. Kristaps Porzingis is teaming up with Luka Doncic in Dallas. There's the NBA trade.
Those of you texting your 33s, thank you. We have plenty of them now. We have 200 pages of them.
Oh, good. Anyone good?
Yeah, Tony Dorsett, worthy of a mention. Aaron Rowan of the White Sox. Several Dustin Byfuglien fans. Alonzo Mourning getting a lot of love. Calvin
Shaq.
Thomas.
Oh, Shaq.
Shaq
32.
Was 32. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Shaq was 33 somewhere, though.
Was he?
32 in Orlando and L.A., maybe 33 in
Miami.
Patrick Waugh.
Oh, God.
Or as Chet said, Patty Roy.
Yeah, Patty Roy.
Patty Roy.
Shortlist the least favorite hockey players ever.
I loved Patty Roy.
Yeah, he's did a couple of years in my years.
He's one of the few guys you pay for. You pay him to see a guy play goalie. There have not been a lot of them. And what he said to Jeremy Roenick was funny. You can't hear him with all the rings in my ears. That was a good smart-ass crack. You got to admit it.
That's a good line. We've got some great storytellers joining us over the next 90 minutes. Brent Musburger coming up. Terry Bors at 3:30. Dave Wonstead at 4. Pull up a chair, hang out. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.